From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo attends the Independence Batik event. Minister Sri Mulyani to increase the allocation of research funds. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo inaugurated the Independence Batik at MRT Station, Indonesian Hotel Roundabout in Jakarta on Thursday morning. This inauguration is part of the commemoration of the 74th Indonesian Independence Day, which falls on August 17, 2019. President Joko Widodo, accompanied by First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo, said that the government hoped that batik as a national cultural heritage could become a brand known in the global arena. He also hopes that the batik cultural heritage can be passed on to Indonesia's young generation in order to preserve national cultural wealth. This is entering the month of independence, August. In this morning, August 1st, 2019, we begin to make 74 meters of batik. In accordance with the commemoration of our 74th independence, we hope that this heritage of batik that has been recorded at UNESCO can become an Indonesian brand on the international stage, and we expect generations of batik from the adult to the youth, all children to be well regenerated. I hope that batik can increasingly be developed as an Indonesian brand. In addition to attending the Independence Batik, President Joko Widodo and First Lady Iriana also had the opportunity to directly create batik at the venue. On the occasion, both of them made the Gurdo motif, which is a representation of Garuda Indonesia, the symbol of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. The Independence Batik activity is planned to be carried out by 74 batik makers with a length of 74 meters. This number signifies a symbol of the commemoration of the 74th Indonesian Independence Day in 2019. In addition to being accompanied by First Lady, President Joko Widodo was also accompanied by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, and Minister of State Secretary Pratikno. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati will increase the allocation of funds from the state budget for research along with the Indonesian government, which is trying to improve the quality of human resources. As reported by Antara, Minister Sri Mulyani said in Jakarta on Wednesday that the government is forming a culture of critical-minded people through education and research. Research funds have been allocated by the government in the 2019 state budget and are expected to increase more. Indonesian Defense Minister Riami Satriangkudu received delegates of the U.S. Congress of House Democracy Partnerships in Jakarta on Wednesday. The House Democracy Partnerships delegates is led by the U.S. Senior Member Congress David Price. Escorted by Antara News Agency, some points were discussed in the meeting, such as an efforts of increasing defense cooperation between the two countries' armed forces that has been done tightly recently. Minister Riami Satriangkudu explained that the defense cooperation between Indonesia and the U.S. has been a strategic level because it gets similarity in perspective of materializing the national interests of those countries amid strategic environmental dynamism in the regions, which is growing more. He further said that Indonesia appreciates the support and aid of the U.S. towards Indonesian initiatives in countering threat potential of terrorism and radicalism for the sake of security stability in the regions. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. East Java Province government wants the cooperation with Slovakia about preparation of human resources to face changes on industry revolution. As quoted by Antaranus Agency Vice Governor of East Java, Emil Elistianto Dardak, to media in Surabaya, East Java said that his side wants Slovakia because East Java Province and Slovakia have similarity, especially about industry center, which focuses on Industry Revolution 4.0. Emil Dardak hopes that through the equality, the cooperation between East Java and Slovakia can be developed, so it will become an entrance to the European market. Tourism area of Lake Toba will add its attraction by program of widening the canal of Tano Ponggol, so it will have in and out lane of tourism ships such as Suez Canal in Egypt. Escorted by Antaranos Agency Director of River and Beach of Directorate General of Water Resources of General Working and People's House Ministry, Jarod Widyoko noted in Samosir, North Sumatra, that noted the length of the Tano Ponggol Canal is 1.2 kilometers. He said the canal will be able to connect Lake Toba so that tourism ships will be able to surround it. He hopes that by having the program, the economy of the region will grow well. The weather in Mecca is very hot and extreme, especially for Indonesian pilgrims who are not used to high temperatures. Thus, they have been asked to reduce outdoor activities before the peak Hajj season. As quoted by Antaranus Agency on Wednesday, Indonesia's head of the Hajj Organizing Committee's working area of Mecca, Subhan Khalid, called on the pilgrims to reduce their outdoor activities. He reminded that at present, the weather in Mecca is quite hot. The pilgrims can manage their activities by reducing outdoor activities or not to do activities that could expose them to direct sunlight. He also said that the pilgrims should focus on preserving their energy and preparing their physical condition so that they are fit to perform all the rituals in Arafat on 9 Dhul Hijjah or August 10, 2019. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia Pradeep Kumar Rawat has expressed confidence that India will support Indonesia's candidacy as a member of the United Nations Human Rights Council UNHRC for the 2020-2022 period. After the opening ceremony of the 150th anniversary of the birth of Mahatma Gandhi in Jakarta on Wednesday, Ambassador Pradeep Kumar explained that the long-standing and good relationship between the two countries since the Asian-African Conference in 1955 and the Non-Aligned Movement in 1961 could be the possible reason for India's support to Indonesia's candidacy. However, he was unable to formally convey India's official stance on voting for Indonesia as a member of the UN Human Rights Council. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here is commentary. The title of today's commentary is A Special Operations Command Has Been Established. Is the prevention of terrorism more effective? The Indonesian Armed Forces, or TNI, has a new elite force called the Special Operations Command, or COPSUS. Chief of TNI Marshal Hadi Cahyanto inaugurated this elite force on Tuesday. The formation of the COPSUS is based on Presidential Regulation number 42/2019 concerning the organizational structure of the Indonesian Armed Forces signed by President Joko Widodo on July 3, 2019. The Special Operations Command aims to counter terrorism. Elite troops who are selected are qualified soldiers to carry out various types of special operations. They can act at home and abroad related to counter terrorism. with the formation of the Korpsus, what about the 88th Detachment? Special detachment belonging to the Police of the Republic of Indonesia or Polri. Responding to this public question, Head of the Public Information Bureau of the Polri's Public Relations Division, Brigadier General Dedi Prasetyo said that the Indonesian Anti-Terrorism Special Detachment 88 will coordinate with the Korpsus. Both of them coordinate to take direct action to counter terrorism. According to Dedi, with the existence of the Korpsus, eradication of terrorism will be even stronger. Besides, the existence of the Korpsus also becomes a legal umbrella for cooperation in handling terrorism. So far, the assistance of TNI to the National Police in eradicating terrorism has been unclear. This means that there are no indicators that can indicate when and under what circumstances the TNI can be assisted or ask for assistance. The presence of the Korpsus should be welcomed positively, because radicalism and extremism in Indonesia are common enemies. Thus, radicalism and terrorism should be countered by all components of the nation, including the TNI and Polri. Well, listener, that's commentary read by Ahmad Faisal. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here is Today in History.
We start today in history from an event on August 1, 1933, when Sukarno was arrested and exiled to Ende. Isolation of the independence fighter Insinyur Sukarno was begun at a political meeting at Muhammad Husni Tamrin House in Jakarta on August 1, 1933. He was arrested by a police commissioner when coming out from the house, and then he was jailed for 8 months without legal process. On December 28, 1933, Governor General of the Dutch East Indies Government, the Dutch, issued isolation decree of Insinyur Sukarno, who was at that time 32 years old, to Ende, Flores, East Nusa Tenggara. He was exiled to Ende because his potential activities endangered the Dutch East Indies Government. During in Ende from 1934 up to 1938, one of the important events was when Insinyur Sukarno was under 3. He thought about national principles, which were formulated to be Pancasila in 1945. The next event is that in 1946, Atom Energy Commission of the United States of America was established to supervise development of atomic bomb. Atom Energy Commission of the United States of America is the U.S. governmental agency which was established after World War II by Congress to encourage and to supervise development of peace technology and knowledge on atom. The U.S. President Harry S. Truman signed Energy Bill of Atom McMahon on August 1, 1946. The bill determined how the United States of America controlled and supervised nuclear technology and established the U.S. Atom Energy Commission for the need. The last event is that in 1980, Vigdis Finn Bogadottir became the first woman in the world who was elected as president through general election. Vigdis Finn Bogadottir was elected as president of Iceland on August 1, 1980, and to be the first woman as president in Iceland and also as the first state of country in Europe. Her leadership reached 16 years. She also became the longest head of the state in the world. Vigdis Finn Bogadottir won the first general election by defeating 3 male candidates by focusing on educational and cultural program. She ran her duty as president on the next 3 periods until 1996. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Hello listener, here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Minister Siti Nurbaya Bakar appreciates the Central Kalimantan Forest Products Marketing Center. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya Bakar appreciated the establishment of the Forest Product Marketing Center or PPHH of the South Kalimantan Forest Service. During a working visit to Banjarmasin on Monday, Minister Siti Nurbaya said that the Center for Forest Product Marketing proves that South Kalimantan has the potential and innovation in developing non-timber forest products that are quite successful. She affirmed that the Center for Forest Product Marketing is the actualization of various potential forest products in South Kalimantan, and these efforts are very good for other regions to follow. Minister Siti Nurbaya also stated that what is now being carried out by the South Kalimantan Forest Service has been in line with the wishes of President Joko Widodo, who hopes the potential of forest products, especially non-timber products, would continue to be developed. She added that through the Forest Products Marketing Center, South Kalimantan has shown that its forest management has been running well, visible in the development, market, and export potential. Minister Siti Nurbaya further said that some handicrafts that raise local wisdom, such as purun crafts to replace plastic bags, are one of the great potentials to continue to be developed. In fact, purun bag industry can enter the national market through retail networks. In addition to purun, the industry of lanterned crafts and the development of the potential of other non-timber forest products can grow quite well and have the potential for export markets. Minister Siti Nurbaya also said that her side would do the same at the relevant ministries and hopes that what the South Kalimantan Forest Service has done could be followed by other provinces. Non-timber forest products exhibited at the Forest Products Marketing Center of the Forestry Service of Kalimantan Province are such as natural honey, local coffee, brown sugar, brown rice, hazelnut oil, processed mushrooms, citronella oil, ironwood oil, cinnamon, herbs, mats, rotten chairs, batik cloths, and natural tourism products from several forest management units in South Kalimantan Province. Well, listener, that's My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you to Karapan Kambing or Goat Race, a tradition of Probolinggo people. There is a unique tradition which is held by people of Probolinggo, East Java. When entering harvest season on August 17 event or village competition, namely Karapan Kambing or Goat Race. The Karapan Kambing is a tradition from generation to generation of Probolinggo community, especially in Pandulungan. The tradition is the result of assimilation between Javanese and Madurese culture, which are spread at the northern coast of East Java, partially Tuban, Lamongan, Surabaya, Sidoarjo, Pasuruan, and Situbondo, and partially southern coast of East Java, Lumajang, Jember, and Banyuwangi. The tradition, which is held routinely, also aims to preserve and develop local cultures and as promotion of Probolinggo tourism as well. In the competition arena, a pair of goats will be competed with other pairs. In the game, these goats are completed with some tools such as ear clamps, rekang or a kind of fixated pendulum, kalalas or wooden frame which is tied on the goat's body, kalonongan or made from small can or from used matches. These goats are smeared with balm and rubbing oil on some part of the goat's bodies so that it gives shock to make the goats dash fastly. In the race of Karapan Kambing, there are some rules which must be obeyed. In the competition, the two pair of goats are driven to get the fastest one, but the jockeys do not ride colorless like at the Karapan Sapi or Bull race, but they run behind the goats. The goats which win the first race then compete in the next games until finally it is found the best pair. Usually, the champion has certain characteristics such as the head is smaller, slim body, base of the front foot is bigger, the minimum age of 3 months and never giving birth. Listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Bagai badai, apa ada hujan? Kau duluan.
listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listeners, welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's Citizen, we present you information on Jogja Cross Culture. Stay with us on www.voinews.id. Yogyakarta is confirmed as Asian Cultural City for period of 2018 until 2020. The confirmation was decided when Asian ministers responsible for culture and art forum took place in 2018. To respond to the confirmation, the government of Yogyakarta will hold Jogja Cross Culture from August 3rd until 4th at the tourism area of Kilometer Zero Point, along with humanists and young artists community. People's elements of 14 districts of Jogja will involve directly at the event. The event has a theme, Gandeng Gendong, namely empowerment program, which becomes characteristic of Jogja. Gandeng Gendong is empowerment with mutual cooperation as philosophy of various people's elements, which are divided into 5K, namely kota or city, kampung or hamlet, kampus or campus, komunitas or community, or corporate. Especially for Jogja, the element is added with one word, namely Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat Balais. On August 3rd, Cross Culture will be presented in the first day of Jogja Cross Culture through performance of puppet. This is collaboration of Ukur Leather Puppet, which was introduced by leather puppet maestro Sigit Sukasman with five dalangs of millennial generation. Dalang is someone who has special skill in playing puppets. The dalangs will play Kancing Jaya story. Meanwhile, August 4, 2019 becomes momentum of launching Gandes Luas program, a kind of physical and non-physical improvement program, including renovation of old and new buildings in order to show typical characters of Jogja, wearing traditional clothes which are being raised by the city's government of Yogyakarta. The peak of Jogja Cross Culture will present historical orchestra and cross culture performance which harmonize Karawitan Orchestra, Core and Yogyakarta's artists will collaborate with international artists on one stage. There is also presentation of cultural road of Ngayogyakarta Hadiningrat Palace, which will present tepas keprajuritan. The community also participates in music, dance, and visual, and joins in the program Community of Traditional Game, Multimedia, and Online Community Forum. That was our segment for today, Miscellany. Thanks for listening.
bebaskan aku dari semua masa lalu. Tenangkan aku, lepaskan dari rasa ragu. Buka matamu, semuanya terlihat. Kau pasti bisa melewatinya.
Dari sebuah senyuman dapat bawakan harapan semua impian. Dalam kehidupan
semua cerita tak harus berakhir kelabu. Ku hanya ingin membuatmu tersenyum. Semuanya terlihat, kau pasti bisa melewatinya.
Dari sebuah senyuman dapat bawakan harapan semua impian. Dalam derap langkah kau bawa senyuman harapan impian dalam kehidupan.
Semua yang tak berarti lukiskan dengan warnamu.
Dari sebuah senyuman dapat tawakan harapan.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I'll present a song to you from Iwan Fals titled Umar Bakri. The song was a leading song in an album titled Sarjana Muda. The song also becomes one of 150 Indonesian best legendary songs of Rolling Stone's Indonesia version. The song tells about an honest and smart teacher who produced outstanding figures for country. However, he never received award and appreciation for his services. The music arrangement of the song is a collaboration of Iwan Fals with Idris Sardi, a famous violinist of Indonesia. Listener, let's listen to the song Umar Bakri by Iwan Fals.
Sedang dari kulit buaya. Selamat pagi, berkata Bapak Umar Bakri. Ini hari aku rasa kopi nikmat sekali. Sedang dari kulit buaya. Mari kita pergi memberi pelajaran ilmu. Pasti itu murid bengamu mungkin sudah menunggu. Laju sepeda kumbang di jalan berlubang, selalu begitu dari dulu waktu zaman Jepang. Terkejut dia waktu mau masuk pintu gerbang, banyak polisi bawa senjata berwajah garang. Bapak Umar Bakri kaget dapat gerangan, berkelahi pak jawab murid seperti jagoan. Bapak Umar Bakri takut bukan kepala, itu sepeda butut dikebut lalu cabut galang kabut cepat pulang. Buset, standing dan terbang. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, pegawai negeri. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, 40 tahun mengabdi. Jadi guru jujur berbakti memang makan hati. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, banyak ciptakan menteri. Umar Bakri, profesor, dokter, insinyur, menjadi. Tapi mengapa gaji guru Umar Bakri seperti dikabiri? Di jalan berlubang,
selalu begitu dari dulu waktu zaman Jepang. Terkejut dia waktu mau masuk pintu gerbang, banyak polisi bawa senjata berwajah garang.
Bapak Umar Bakri takut apa gerangan, berkelahi pajawan murid seperti jagoan.
Bapak Umar Bakri takut bukan kepala, itu sepeda butut dikepur lalu cabut kalang kabut. Bakri kentut cepat pulang. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, pegawai negeri. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, 40 tahun mengabdi, jadi guru jujur berbakti memang makan hati. Umar Bakri, Umar Bakri, banyak ciptakan menteri. Umar Bakri, bikin otak orang seperti otak Habibi. Tapi mengapa gaji guru Umar Bakri seperti dikabiri? Bakri, Bakri, siapa nama pun jadi orang gawat.
Kamar ini aku dilahirkan, di balai bambu buah tangan bapakku.
All right, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening. But stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and send us email on voi@voinews.id.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voinews.id.